your videos off, and then you can just go like this. You can. Okay, now you need to go like this. Rename yourself chat. Enable waiting room. You don't want that, right? You don't want the waiting room. Right? You disable the waiting room. Okay, so it should be good.
Wait, to
make sure they can't unmute themselves. Unmute themselves now. Good. Right? You just want them to be on the chat.
Record.
It's recording.
I don't know. Recording now?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Can you guys hear me okay? Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. I can't see myself. Huh? Okay. All right, I'm gonna start. Even though I can't see you, I hope you can see me. I am so thrilled that you are here today to learn with me. We're just gonna wait one more minute in case a few other people would like to join us. I can't see myself. I don't know. Where? Okay. All right, so welcome everybody to this year's Yarchei Kala, sponsored by Neely and the YU Torah Mitzion Kollel of Chicago. I am so happy to be a part of this year's conference once again, and I just wanted to take a moment to thank Rabbi Brands for his leadership and his vision in the Kollel, as well as Mrs. Emma Katz for your scholarship and your patience, and I really am so thrilled to be speaking today. What I wanted my topic today is, my title today is Lessons from the Benot Tzlafchad and Shevet Menasha. And I hope that we can learn some lessons. We're going to explore a couple stories in Tanakh and hopefully learn some lessons that we can apply to our lives in general and also during these the period of time which we find ourselves in, the 9 days leading up to Tisha B'Av this week. We're going to start by taking a look at a story that comes to us that we learn in Sefer Bamidbar, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Bet. We're told in Pasuk Aleph, Umikne Rav, Hayal Livnei Reuven, Livnei Gad, Atsuma Od, Vayiru Et Eretz Ya'azer, Vet Eretz Gilad, Vinei HaMakom Mekom Mikne. We're told that two Shvatim approach Moshe and other leaders at this point, and they request, they're on the verge of entering Eretz Yisrael as a nation. This is towards the end of the 40-year period where Bnei Yisrael have been wandering in the Midbar. And very soon, they're approaching the time in which they're about to go in and enter Eretz Yisrael, conquer the land, and inherit the land that's been promised to them. And these two tribes, Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven, come to Moshe, Pasuk Bet, Vayavo Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, Vayomru Moshe, the Elazar HaKohen, the El Nisiei HaEda Lemor. And they come and they approach Moshe, Elazar, and other leaders. And they say, this land, Pasuk Dalet, Ha'aretz Asher Hikah Hashem, Lifnei Adat Yisrael, Eretz Miknahi, Ula Avadacha Miknah. They say, this land in which we have conquered, in which we are sitting at this moment, is a land which is very good for Miknah, very good for cattle, and we happen to have a lot of Miknah. And they say, Pasukhe, Vayomru, Imatzanu Chen Be'enacha, Yutad et Ha'aret Hazo La'avadacha, Al Tavirenu La'achuza, Al Tavirenu et Ha'yardin. And they say to Moshe, and to the Elazar, and to other leaders, please, if we have found favor in your eyes, let us inherit this land. Al Tavirenu et Ha'yardin. Don't make us cross the Yarden. We don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. We want to stay right here where we are. This is a good land for us and for our cattle. Moshe, if we were together in person, God willing, we'll be together in person next year. I would ask you, if you're Moshe, how would you respond to this request by these two Shvatim? We have Moshe's response in Pasuk Vav. Moshe says, Vayomer Moshe livnei Gad ulivnei Reuven. He says to them, Ha'achechem yavo'u l'melchama v'atem tishvu po. Are your brothers, the other shvatim, they're going to go into war. They're going to go and fight and conquer the lands of Eretz Yisrael. And you're just going to sit here with your mikneh. And he continues to say, why should you discourage the rest of Bnei Yisrael from going into the lands which Hashem has given to them? And the next couple psukim, which I don't have listed for you here, psukim chet through gimel, Moshe basically reminds them of the sin of their parents' generation. Right, 40 years prior to this, the Jewish people were on the verge of going into Eretz Yisrael. And what happens, as we all know, the Chet HaMeraglim. The people go to Moshe and say, we want to send a group of people, and we want to scout out the land. And because of the report that the 10 of those Meraglim come back with, we know that Kalev and Yehoshua did not come back with that report, but the other 10 did. As a result, Bnei Yisrael have been wandering in the Midbar for 40 years. And here they are again at this moment, such a critical moment. And Moshe must be just very, you know, upset, confused. How is this going to play out? Are we going to go back and repeat the mistakes of the previous generation? Pasuk Yisalad, Hine Kamta, Moshe continues to talk to Shevet Gad and Reuven. Hine Kamta Tachar Avotecham, Tarbut Anashim Chataim. And he says, you're about to repeat the mistakes of the past, and Hashem is going to get angry. And as a result of what you're doing, Moshe says, you may end up staying in the Midbar. Hashem is going to leave you again in the Midbar, and you're going to bring destruction to this nation. Pasuk Tet Zayin is one of the most important psukim in all of this story, because here, we have a moment which could have gone a very different direction. But Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven responds and understands and listen to Moshe's concern. And they say, Vayik Shu'elav, before they say anything, we have these two words which we're going to come back to. Vayik Shu'elav, they approach Moshe and they say, Yidrotzon Yivneh Limikneinu Po V'arim L'Tapeinu. And they approach him and they say, we are going to build places for our cattle and cities for our children. But in addition, anachnu nechaleit chushim lifnei bnei Yisrael, ad asher im hivinu al makom, v'yashav tapinu v'arim yivtar mifnei yoshvei ha'aretz. They say, they promise that they are not going to abandon their brothers, the other shvatim. Rather, they are going to go and fight with them in conquering Eretz Yisrael. And they say, pasuk yinchet, lo nashuv el beitenu ad hitnachal bnei Yisrael, ish aflato. We are not going to return back to this side of the Yarden until everyone in Eretz Yisrael, all the other Shatim, have inherited their Nachalot. Okay, Moshe seems to accept this. He accepts their promise to go and fight alongside their brethren in Eretz Yisrael, and he makes a deal with them in Pasuk Kavchet in front of Elazar and Yehoshua and other leaders. Vayisav lahem Moshe et Elazar Kohen et Yehoshua binun et Roshei Ha'avot livnei Ha'amatos livnei Yisrael. And he says, if Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven live up to their promise to go and to fight and even to be at the front lines of conquering Eretz Yisrael, v'nichbisha ha'aretz livnechem, unatatem lahem et Eretz ha'gil'ah v'achuza, then you have my permission to give them this land on the other side of the Yarden as their nachala. So if they do what they promised to do, then they are given permission to settle outside the land of Israel. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vaya'anu b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven l'mor. Et asher diber Hashem alav adacha ki na'aseh. They accept it and they say, yes, we agree to go fight and we agree to the conditions that Moshe has setting upon us. Nachnu na'avor chalutzim, they repeat, we're going to go and fight. We're going to be on the front lines to help our brothers, help the other Shvatim inherit Eretz Yisrael. And you would expect in Pasuk Lamed Gimel to see the following words. Tell me, and I wish we were in person so we could have this discussion. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayitei lahem Moshe livnei Gad ulivnei Reuven. You would expect it to stop there, that Moshe gives the land to Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven, This is who we've been talking to. We have Rav Pasuk, Lamed Gimel, for 30 some odd psukim. Moshe is having this conversation with two shvatim, God and Reuven. And all of a sudden, in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Torah tells us, Vayitein lahem Moshe livnei God and livnei Reuven, v'lechatzi shevet Menashe ben Yosef. Not only does Moshe assign these lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, on the eastern side of the Yarden, to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, he also gives them to half the Shevet of Menashe. And not only that, but half the Shevet, and Menashe here is referred to as Menashe ben Yosef, right? So this is, the Torah is, you know, it's almost, these words should jump out at us and say, wait a second, what is going on here? Where did Shevet Menashe come from? And why are they being described to us as Shevet Menashe ben Yosef? Many of us know that Menashe was the son of Yosef, but so was Gad and Reuven, the sons of Bnei Yaakov, and they're not described that way. Why is Menashe, the Shevet of Menashe, being described as Menashe ben Yosef here? That's something that we always see in the Torah. The Pesukim continue to tell us that these two and a half, from this point on, these two, not only do two Shvatim settle outside the land, but two and a half, Shevet Gad, Shevet Reuven, and half the Shevet of Menashe. And we have to, of course, we're not the only ones to ask this question. Many of the Farshim have commented, where did Shevet Menashe come from? Why are they also, why are they seemingly out of nowhere included in this whole process, in this whole discussion, and in the settling of the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael? Just to show you for one moment before we look at some Mefarshim to help us understand, this is all repeated to us in Sefer Dvarim when Moshe is giving his final speech to the Jewish people. He repeats this story and he tells us again that the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe were given lands outside the land of Israel. The first idea we're going to look at comes to us from the Ibn Ezra in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And the Ibn Ezra says, Lo hiskir arata chatsi shevet Menashe, ba'avur hayato chatsi shevet, that the Ibn Ezra takes the opinion that actually all along, from the beginning of this discussion in Perek Lamed Bet, actually Shevet Menashe had been along for the ride from the very beginning. However, the Torah doesn't tell us that because they were a small Shevet. They were a chatsi Shevet. They wasn't the entire Shevet of Menashe we're talking about. So therefore, the Torah only tells us about that Shevet Menashe is involved here only at the time when Moshe actually agrees to give them the land. But he says that they weren't Shevet Reuven and Gad made up more of the numbers. So therefore, we're told about them. But actually, according to Ibn Ezra, Shevet Menashe was along from the very beginning. That's one approach. Another approach I'd like to share with you is from the Ramban, also Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And he says, a little bit different from Ibn Ezra, he says, V'lechatzi Shevet Menashe ben Yosef, mitchila lo ba'u lefanav Shevet Menashe. That he disagrees with Ibn Ezra and says that they were not along with the other two Shvatim from the very beginning. Aval, ka'asher chalak ha'aretz l'shnei Shvatim, ra'ah shiki eretz gedola yoter min hara'ui lahem. But when Moshe went to divide up this land on the outside of the Yarden, he saw that this was actually a very big land. And it was too big for only two Shvatim to settle. So what did Moshe do? Uvikesh nisha yirtzel lihitnachal imahem. V'hayu anashim yishevet Menashe sheyirtzuba. Ulay anshe mikneh hayu v'natan lahem chalkam. And what did Moshe do when he saw how big this land actually was? He basically called for volunteers, says the Ramban. He said, would anybody else like to join these other two Shvatim outside, on the other side of the Yarden? And he says that some of the families, Shevet Menashe, not all of them, but some of them said, you know, we're going to have more lands on this end of the Yarden. We agree to go there as well. Maybe they also had a lot of Miknah, like we're told about Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven. That's the Ramban. He says they weren't there from the beginning, but when Moshe offered, they took him up on the offer to settle outside of Eretz Yisrael. The third opinion I'd like to share with you on this is the opinion of the Emek Davar, who is written by the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who comments not in Bamidbar, but in Dvarim, where Moshe recounts the story like we saw. And he says, Ela nir'a al pi dati, sheyesh lehitbonen od, שהרבה משה רבינו חלקת חצי שבע מנשה, הרבה לפי ערך שני השרתים אלו. וגם, לא הצנה עמם תנאי בני גד ובני רובן. He says we have to take note of the fact that number one, Moshe seems to have given this half shevet of Menashe, not even half. Many people say it was 2 out of 8 shvatim. So this small, relatively small group of people gave them a relatively large portion of land. And also, it doesn't seem to be that the conditions that were placed upon the other two shvatim were applied to shevet Menashe. The conditions of you have to go fight, because if you want to sit here, you have to agree to not abandon your brothers when they go fight to inherit Eretz Yisrael. And the Emek Dever says, "V'nir'ah d'shabishvil shara Moshe Rabbeinu d'be'ever hayardein koach hatara me'at alkein hishgadal lehashtil bekirbam yidolei Torah sheya'iru mechashchei Eretz ba'or koach shalaham." In fact, says the Emek Dever, this has nothing to do with numbers. It has nothing to do with wanting more land. But however, according to him, Moshe purposely plants this group from Shevet Menashe among the lands that are going to be inherited by Reuben and Gad, because he understands that outside of Eretz Yisrael, the koach of the Torah is less. And therefore, these two shvatim, Reuben and Gad, are going to need some spiritual assistance. They're going to need to be spiritually uplifted in order to keep their connection to the Torah, to keep their connection to Bnei Yisrael and to Eretz Yisrael while remaining outside the land. And that Moshe purposely chooses people from Shevet Menashe to settle there because, as he learns from a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, he learns from this pasuk that people from Shevet Menashe were actually Gedolei Torah v'Roshei Yeshivot. V'hishtadal Moshe sheyurtzu heima l'shevet b'ever hayadein, u'mishum zeh hirba lahem nachala ad shenitratzu. And that because there were people in Shevet Menashe who were Gedolei Torah, who were leaders in Torah and heads of yeshivot, he purposely wants those people, to settle outside with Reuven, with God. And therefore Moshe gave them more land than perhaps they needed in order to entice them, in order to have them agree to do this. Because he wanted to make sure that Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven would stay connected to the Torah and stay connected to Judaism and to Yahadut. Okay, so we have a few different answers, hopefully, that we've seen to explain why Menashe appears to have inherited the land outside the land. The next question I want to address is, why does the Torah go to trouble to remind us that we're talking here about Chatzi Shevet and Menashe ben Yosef? Why go to the trouble to remind us that Menashe was the son of Yosef? Why is that necessary? We all should remember that from Sefer Bereishis. So in order to answer that question, I'd like to go back and to look at a few psukim from Sefer Bereishis that hopefully will help us understand who Menashe was as a person and what he represented. The first thing I'd like to share with you is something I heard from Rabbi Ami Silver at the Aleph Beta website, phenomenal website where you can learn so much insight from different parshiot, different stories of Tanakh. And he says, if you look closely at the language back in Perek Lamed Bet of Sefer Bamidbar, you can't help but notice that some of the language is very similar to a story that happens back in Sefer Bereishit, namely the story of Yosef. That when Moshe turns to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben and says, Ha'acheichem yavo'u l'melchama v'atem tishvuho, he could have used other words. He could have said, ha'am, the rest of the am, or he could have said the rest of the shvatim. He chooses to use the word achim here, acheichem, because, says Rabbi Silver, he wants to evoke the story of Yosef. Moshe not only is afraid here that these two shvatim are going to repeat the mistakes of their parents' generation of not wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael, but he's also afraid that they're going to repeat mistakes of a much earlier story in which a brother was abandoned by his other brothers. And of course, here we're talking about the story of Yosef. And Rabbi Silver points out that when Moshe says that if they anger Hashem here, that Hashem could leave them in the Midbar, Vayasaf od lahalicho b'midbar, that again, Moshe purposely uses, almost evokes the name of Yosef, the Yasaf Od, should really jump out to us and say, wait a second, that reminds us of the name of Yosef, a brother who was abandoned by his other brothers in the Midbar. And I mentioned before that the Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven's response was so critical. And the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that before they spoke to Moshe, it says, Vayikshu Elav, because guess what? That's the same language the Torah used back in Sefer Bereishit when the brother, Yehuda, approaches Yosef, right? If we remember, just to refresh our memories, we know that Yosef was trying to figure out the intentions of his brothers when they appear before him in Mitzrayim. And he plants the cup in the bag of Binyamin and wants to imprison Binyamin. And at that point, that's when Yehuda gets up and approaches Yosef and says, no, take me instead. We can't do this to our father. I can't leave Binyamin here imprisoned while we go back. It will destroy our father. And that language reassures Moshe here as well, that these two Shvatim are not going to abandon their brothers, are not going to abandon the rest of the Shvatim and just settle here, but they will accompany them. In addition, says Rabbi Silver from Aleph Beta, that the name that Yosef gives to his son, Menashe, this is his firstborn son that's born to him in Yitzrayim. Vayikra Yosef et shem ha-bachor Menashe, Hinashani Elokim, it's called Amali, it's called Beit Avi. Yosef, by giving his son the name Menashe, shows his ability to move on and to move on from the pain of his past. Yosef had a pretty painful past, that being abandoned by his brothers. And he shows that looking towards the future, that also I want to suggest that by including Shevet Menashe here, Moshe wants to make sure that the brothers are not going to repeat the mistakes of the past, are not going to hold on from grudges from the past, but the Shevet Menashe, says Rabbi Silver, is going to symbolize that looking to the future and not just holding on to the past. One other element of Menashe as a person, as his personality, that I'd like to suggest here, also from Sefer Bereishit, which also I think can maybe tie into this idea of Menashe being either joining or being asked to join these other two Shvatim outside of Eretz Yisrael, is that we have the story in the end of Sefer Bereishit of Yaakov, once they are reunited with Yosef and they're all together in Mitzrayim and it's the end of his life, he goes to give brachot to his children and to the two children of Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim. In fact, we're told that Yaakov elevates the status of these two Shvatim to become like his other sons, to really become almost like sons to him. He says, Kiruvenu Kishimon Himali. They really become like sons to Yaakov. If we look closely at the story here in Sefer Bereishit, we're told that Yosef brings Ephraim and Menashe to Yaakov to receive the bracha, and he purposely places them, Menashe on one side since he's the Bechor, and Ephraim on the other side since he's the younger one. So it says, Pasuk Gimel Sefer Bereishit, source number 7, Vayikach Yosef et shneihem et Ephraim b'yamino u'mismol Yisrael, but Menashe b'smolo. He purposely wants to place them in a way that Yaakov will give a bracha, one bracha to Menashe, one bracha to Ephraim, based on their birth order, as was probably the custom of the time. However, we're told that Yaakov doesn't agree with this, that Vayishlach Yisrael, Yaakov here is referred to as Yisrael, et yimino, Vayish al Rosh Ephraim, v'hu hatzair, et smolo al Rosh Menashe, shikel et yadav, ki Menashe b'chor. That in fact, what Yaakov does here is he switches his hands. And of course, this does not sit well with Yosef. And we should be surprised that even Yaakov does this, given knowing his history, knowing his past, knowing that there was because of the whole mess with the brachot of Yaakov and Esav, he had to leave. He had to leave his home. He had to run away. And he was away for 20 some odd years. So seeing what Yaakov's doing, Pasuk El Chet, Vayomer Yosef El Aviv, Yosef tries to correct his father, and his father doesn't want to be corrected. And Yaakov says, no, he refuses. He says, Yadati, Bini, Yadati. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. And at that point on, from this point on, we see Ephraim sort of as inheriting a different role. We oftentimes refer to Ephraim before Menashe with the bracha that we give our sons on Friday nights and Erev Yom Kippur, right? We always refer to them as Ephraim of Menashe. And you would expect almost, because of the history of Sefer Bereishit and so much animosity that occurred between brothers and among brothers, you would expect here Menashe to say, wait a second, you can't do this to me. You can't give my bracha or the Bechor bracha to Ephraim. But we see none of that. We see no response. We see no anger. We see no jealousy. We see no resentment on the part of Menashe towards Ephraim for having been given a bracha that maybe was meant for him. And what I want to suggest is that maybe Menashe is the first one that's able to move on, that's able to say, you know what, I accept this. I accept what my grandfather is doing. I trust him. And I know it's going to be okay. And we know we're in the 3 weeks, we're in the 9 days. We're told that Sinat Chinam was one of the reasons that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And really, this is the first story. This is the first time we're hearing in the Torah of a brother not being angry, not being jealous, not being resentful of his other brother because of something that was done to them. And I think that's such a beautiful message for us that we should try to aspire to be like Menashe, to not harbor the resentment, not harbor any hard feelings towards family members, towards friends, towards community, you know, especially during this time. But of course, that's something we can always aspire to. The other thing I want to take a look at for a moment in the time that's left to us is another story in Sefer Bamidbar. Comes a few prakim before, the one that we just explored. And that's the story of the Benot Tzolchad, the daughters of Tzolchad, who also the Torah goes out of its way to tell us. Pasuk Aleph, Batikravna Benot Tzolchad, Ben Chafer, Ben Gilad, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe, Mishpachot Menashe, Ben Yosef. Again, the Torah goes out of its way to connect the Benot Tzolchad to Yosef. And again, it didn't have to. It could have stopped at Ben Menashe, but it goes out of its way to tie these daughters of Tzolchad who approach Moshe, Pasuk Bet, and approach Elazar, and approach the Nasi'im and say, our father, Pasuk Gimel, Avinu Meid Bamidbar, V'hu lo haya betol chayda, hanoadim al Hashem, ba'adak korach, ki b'chato meit ubanim lo hayu lo, Pasuk Dal, lama yigara shem Avinu mitoch mishpachto, ki ein lo bein, t'na lanu achuza betoch achay Avinu. These five daughters of Tzolchad approach Moshe and other leaders and say, just because our father had no sons, why should we lose out? Why should our father's name not be remembered? We want an achuza in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe turns to Hashem to answer the question. Not only does Hashem agree 100,000% with what they're saying, Pasuk Zayin, Hashem says, or Pasuk Vav, Hashem says to Moshe, Kein benot Tzolchad zovro. Yes, give them their nachala. Give them a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Not only does Hashem completely agree with what they're requesting, but he also, from this point, takes this as an opportunity to teach the laws of inheritance going forward. What happens in this situation or that if there's no sons, if there's no brothers, right? And takes this moment, really uses it as a teaching opportunity to teach the entire people some laws of inheritance. And Rashi brings a beautiful idea here on Pasuk Aleph, where he asks the same question. Why go to the trouble of tying these daughters of Tzolchad all the way back to Yosef? You're going back several generations. Ben Tzolchad, Ben Chefer, Ben Gilad, Ben Machir. Okay, so we get it. So Rashi says, Lama Nemar, why does it say this? V'halok far Nemar Ben Menashe. We could just have stopped at Menashe. Tell us what Shevet they're a part of and leave it at that. Allah Lomar Lacha, says Rashi, Yosef Chibev et Ha'aretz, Nemar, that not only did Yosef able to impart to his children, Menashe and Ephraim, a love, a brotherly love, where everyone got along and there was no resentment, he also was able to impart to his children and to his grandchildren. And we're going down five generations here, but there still existed something from Yosef, a complete love of Eretz Yisrael. And if we think about Yosef, who spent the majority of his life not living in Eretz Yisrael, Maybe he spent about 15 years living in the land. He wasn't born there, and by age 17, he sold into slavery and spent the rest of his life in Mitzrayim. Yet he completely kept a love of the land, which he was able to impart to the generations that came after him. And just to see this pasuk inside, at the end of Yosef's life, Yosef, who accomplished so much, Yosef, who ended up being so successful and could have sent any message to the people, sends the following message, source number 10. By Shava Yosef Ebnei Yisrael Lemor, he makes Ebnei Yisrael promise him. Lemor, Pakod Yifkod Elokim Etchem, Ve'alitem Etzatzmat Taimizeh. He says, when Hashem takes you out of here and redeems you, bring my bones with you. Bury me in Eretz Yisrael. That's Yosef's, literally, his last wish is to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the love that he had. He could have asked for anything, but he asks to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And this love of the land is imparted to his grand, great, 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 the granddaughters many generations later. Perhaps we can also, Rabbi Ari Khan suggests that maybe this is another reason why Moshe chose to have part of Sheva Menashe join the other two Shvatim on the other side of the Yarden, because he knew that there existed this love of the land in Sheva Menashe, and maybe Sheva Gad and Reuven not only needed to stay spiritually connected to the people and to the nation, but also that they should be they living among people who had this great love of the land. And really, we see here two last ideas I want to share with you. Number one, that Menashe ended up a map of the Shvatim and the areas they inherited. Menashe really is the glue, says Rabbi Ami Silver. He's the glue that holds the nation together spiritually, physically. You see that the two Nachalot of Menashe are really, they're divided by the Yarden, but they really are contiguous. And they are the glue that's going to hold the nation together for so many and so many years. And the other thing about the love of Eretz Yisrael, again, we find ourselves here in the 9 days approaching Tisha B'Av. We learn from the Talmud Bavli, Masechet Tanit, Daf Lamed Amud Bet, Mikan Amru Kol HaMitzabel Al Yerushalayim, Zocheh V'Ro'eh B'Simchata. Yosef and his descendants and so many of our forefathers never gave up on their hope to return to Eretz Yisrael. And we're told here that anybody that mourns for Yerushalayim will be privileged, will be zocha to see its happiness. And may we always continue to yearn for Yerushalayim, to yearn for unity, these two such important values that we learned from Sheva Menashe. May we embrace them, may we learn from them, and may you have a meaningful Tisha B'Av, and may we all be zocha to see the final building of the final Beit HaMikdash and see the final all the simcha of Yerushalayim. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much for learning with me. Thank you again to Rabbi Brand and Mrs. Katz. And I look forward to learning together more in the future. Be well.